But yeah, it is a good thought. Have a new body one of these days. Anybody got a song today? Now open your Bibles, the book of 2 Chronicles. Now, I've got a caller that wants to rebel against me tonight. So my wife, she's going to have to tell me when it flips up in the air all the time. Just do this, honey. And I'll either put it down or sing "I'll Fly Away," one of the two. Okay. Want to share something with you. Actually, the last couple times that I preached, I brought this out, but I want to bring it out once more. I promise I'm not going to bring it out every time I come. But I want to bring it out because I want to show you and get into the message tonight that I want to go from in the book, in chapter number 29. And I want to preach about Hezekiah. I want to preach about revival that he brought to the nation of Israel. But let me say a couple things about revival. Revival meetings, we need one. I've been trying to talk and look, and I was going to try to have one, but this month and next month seemed like it's going to be a bad month. We're going to have a lot of different people gone, and I want people here. Yeah. I want them here for one for the main reason. If the church is not here, then the church doesn't get revived. And so I'd ask you during the first week or so of August, try to keep that clear if you would, because we're that's when I'm going to try to plan it and try to have a revival during that time and Bible services. And I want to get back to have them more often than what we're having them. And you know, this COVID, I was talking to some of the singers that we had the other day, and I was asking him about churches. He said, he asked me, I can tell. He said, the moment I walk into a church, I can tell one that went right back to services, and I can tell one that has delayed getting back to service after the pandemic. He said, some of the ones we've got into has still yet not got back into having services yet. I had several people say during Easter service, for a year, their church had not met. And we're going to have services finally on Easter. And we're going to start having them on a Sunday morning, not Sunday night and Wednesday night. Well, if you can have them on Sunday morning, why can't you have them Sunday night and Wednesday night? Just doesn't make sense to me. Doesn't make sense to me if you can go to Walmart. I'm not picking on Walmart, even though there are some things there I can pick on. And go to Kroger or go any of those places like that. If you can go to those places, why can't you come to the house of God? Now, I understand sickness. I understand those, but I don't understand when people's running everywhere else, but yet they can't get the house of God together. But let me tell you something, and I can't speak for all other denominations. I only speak for Baptists, and really only independent Baptists that I know. But many Baptist churches falls into the category that we're going to look at tonight. They have destroyed themselves. Now, the last couple of services that I've had, I went to the chapter 26 and I pointed out Uzziah. Uzziah was a good king. He started out good. He did many things that was right inside of God, and God was pleased with some things he did. God allowed him to grow in strength and allowed the land of Israel be in peace and allowed them conquer enemies. But then Uzziah got too much pride. And then what he did was, as you know, I pointed out, he went into the temple and he began to do something that only the priest was consecrated to do by God. He usurped authority he didn't have. Now I'm going to tell you, a lot of churches have been dying and a lot of Baptist churches have died because families have taken over churches and they begin to dictate to the pastor what to do and what not to do. You come in there and you try, somebody comes in, tries to pastor a church, and they tell them what to preach, what not to preach, where to go, what to do, and all those things. And if they don't like it, then the first thing they do is vote them out. That's usurping authority that you don't have. Or they have people in there that's not scripturally, has authority to hold those positions. Today I was reading a paper and it was talking about someone in England had won the upper politicians and went to a church that had stood against homosexuality. Well, the LGBT crowd or whatever you call it had rose up against him, and so he come out and publicly apologized for going to that church. And there are places that have demanded that people not preach against it anymore, not make a stand against it anymore. What they're doing is usurping authority that they don't have. And when you begin to usurp unscriptural authority, you're in line to kill the church. And so what happened is, after Uzziah had no more respect because of pride, and he began to use that authority, we saw that his son Jotham, in chapter number 27, if you look in verse 1, he began to reign. And in verse number 2, the Bible says, and he did that which is right in sight of the Lord, according to all his father Uzziah did. Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. Now, he tried to do things without going to the house of God. And there's a whole lot of people right now, I go and I say, how's things at church? Well, I'm not going back to church yet. Well, what are you doing out here running all around, and you can't go back to church yet? They're claiming to serve God and worship God, yet they are not in church. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembling yourselves together. You need to be in church. Jesus loved the church. He died for the church. We are the church. Amen? And so therefore, the assembly, called out assembly together, is where we come together, and we're commanded to come together and worship God and assemble ourselves. Now, and in doing so, what happens is that when people begin to try to serve God, hit and miss and all those type of things, then what you do without going and being faithful to the house of God, you'll find the house of God even deteriorates even more. Then we find the next generation that came along in chapter 28 from Uzziah was Ahaz, and we talked about that. The Bible says in verse number 1, last part, but he did not that which was right in sight of the Lord, and like David his father, for he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and made also molten images for Balaam. Now, if you look on over there in verses 22 through 24, you'll find that he did it because it was politically correct. He not only did not want to go to the house of God, and by the way, let me throw this out again. I said it this morning, but let me say it again. For some people who think that they are doing, they're making every excuse in the world not to attend church, your children are going to suffer because of it. And your grandchildren are going to suffer because of it. You'll turn around and your grandchildren won't even know who God is. And you'll try to get them to come to the house of God. They'll want no part of the house of God. It didn't mean nothing to you. It won't mean nothing to them. And so that's what happened to Ahaz. As a matter of fact, if you look in verse number 24, the Bible says he cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord. And he made altars to all these other gods that was politically correct. And so what we find is he not only went, he didn't want nothing to do with church. Now I'm going to tell you something. The battle against the church is not going to let up. It's going to get worse and worse until Jesus comes. And we're going to suffer, and we keep seeing people elected like this administration, and they're going to come try to shut our churches down. They may get to the point where we have to meet in houses and so forth. But I'll guarantee you, they're going to come after us. If they would do it today if they thought they could get by with it. But they're going to try it, and it's going to tempt. And so we have to keep staying strong. They want to shut the house, the house of God. And what happens is, as the week, and I was talking to one of the singers. He said, you know what? Several of the churches that shut down for a year, now they can't get nobody to come back to church. Their church is dead. They're having to close the doors. They're having to sell the buildings. And so what you find is, don't expect to grow people and grow your children and your grandchildren's interests when you've not been faithful to the house of God. Look on in verse number 29. When you look at Ahaz, he was one of the most wicked kings that Israel ever had. But you know, the wonderful thing about God is God can raise someone up. He raised a son of Ahaz up. His name was Hezekiah. I want to begin reading there in chapter 29. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 28 years old, and he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abijah, and the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. And he, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He repaired them. And he brought in priests and Levites, and gathered them together into the east street. And he said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves, and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. Also they have shut up the doors of the porch, and put on the lamps, and not burned incense, nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, to hissing, as ye see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity, or for this, and now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent. For the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. Look on down verse 15. And they gathered the brother, and they sanctified themselves, and came according to commandment of the king, by the words of the Lord, to cleanse the house of the Lord. The priests went in the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and brought out all the uncleanness. Now, in verse 21, you find that they brought, and they offered sin offerings. Then in verse 27, you'll find Hezekiah commanded for them to offer burnt offerings upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And you'll find, if you read down through there, that they had a new song in their heart when they began to cleanse the house of God. And then the last couple verses. And the burnt offerings were, in verse 35, was in abundance with the fat of the peace offerings and the drink offerings for every burnt offering. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. And Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people that God had prepared the people for the thing was done suddenly. I want to preach tonight just a moment about how to return revival. Now, we were talking about the degeneration of churches. Now, I'm going to tell you something else that some Baptist churches have done that has completely destroyed their churches. They have went away from the King James Bible. That's right. And they began to get perverted versions. Yeah. And they began to try to change, as Brother Junior was bringing out this morning, change the Word of God. And you don't mess with the Word of God. As Brother Eric mentioned this morning, God is very jealous of his Word, and it's forever settled in heaven. It's not to be changed. As a matter of fact, the last book in the book of Revelation says that if you take anything away from the words of the prophecy, He will take your name out of the book of life, blot it out. And he said, if you add anything to his words, he'll add to you the plagues that's written in the book. So you better be very careful about messing around with the word of God. And whenever they went and they surrendered to all these other new versions, and that because King James was too complicated to understand. But I found out this. You need only two things to understand the word of God. One, the Holy Spirit, and number two, study. And you do those two things, and God will enlighten you on the word of God. You'll be amazed what you'll see out of the word of God. But anyway, we find ourselves in a time when churches are in trouble. And we find ourselves in a time when they're dying. We're not seeing people saved. We need revival. And the wonderful thing about revival is this. It is not on God that we don't have revival. I believe God stands ready to send revival all the time. The fact that we don't have revival is not because of God. I believe it's because of us. Amen? And I believe it's because what we need to do is we need to do like Hezekiah. We need to look around and see where we've gotten to. And we need to change some things. And so let's look just a few moments. And I want to show you what he did. And I want to show you what revival will bring. And some signs of revival that we have if we go there. First of all, there were some things that happened. The doors was closed. Before anybody's going to have any revival, you better get your doors of your church open. Amen. And you better quit letting the government tell you when to open them and when not to open them. Because if the government had their way, they'd keep them shut all the time. Amen. Especially any of those that's preaching truth, because they don't like them. And so what we have to do is we have to open the doors. Thank God we have some forefathers that understood the importance of the Word of God and understood the separation of having the government from infringing upon the rights of the church. And I'm glad that we have people that had the forethought. Of course, when they come over here, they were suffering for that very thing from England and the Church of England. And they didn't want any government telling you what denomination to believe to go to, what church to go to, and having a government to tell you when and when you cannot meet. And so therefore, I'm glad we had that forethought. And so first of all, we got to get the doors of the house of God open again. And we need people coming back into the house of God, amen? And we need them coming to see revival brought. You know, it's kind of hard to have a revival when nobody's coming, amen? People need to get coming to the house of God. And let me say this. If you're a saved individual, you have God. He sends pandemics. He sends pestilence. And he can definitely take care of you in that time. Amen? Now look on. A couple things that happened because of it. Number 7. Look in verse number 7. In verse 6 he says, "For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs, and also they have shut up the doors of the porch, put out the lamps, not burned incense, nor offered burnt offerings into the holy place unto the God of Israel." So first of all, let me say this. There are some things that we need to put back into our churches. Some of these things here. Number one, if you look, he said they've shut up the doors of our porch. In other words, a place of gathering. What we need to do is open up the doors of our porch. How do we need to do that? We need to grab tracts and we need to go out and we need to take time each week to go and visit somebody and invite them to come to the house of God. Can you imagine if everybody in this house right here tonight would take 5 tracts and hand 5 tracts out during this week, how many people that we could reach just this very night? And how many of us goes to places that you could hand a tract? And how many do we have or that you could tell somebody or invite somebody to church or just call somebody and say, and be praying for them and say, "I've been praying for you. I'd love to see you coming come to church Sunday. I'll even come and get you." Can you imagine what would happen? How that we could see the doors of the porch and people begin to gather him back into the house of God again. I used to love it when church services would break out and you'd have to start setting chairs out. When we'd have revivals and they go on for 2 weeks and we'd start setting chairs out because people want to come and see what was happening. Remember one time we had 20-some saved during the week, and boy, people got hearing about it, and we couldn't seat enough people. But what we have to do is we have to make the church inviting again. What we've done is, and you know, the devil's been very successful. You go knock on the door right now. We used to go knock on doors all the time at different times, and we would go out and try to reach people. And you knock on doors now, and people won't even let you in the house. Some of them won't even let you hand them something because they are so paranoid about all this. But what we need to do is we need to invite people to the house of God. Number two, look if you would, he says put out the lamps. The lamps in the Bible is a type of the Word of God. People's quit reading the Word of God. Man, it's like some have said, and Brother Eric talks about sometimes in his Sunday school, you're doing this all the time. How many of you take time to spread the Word of God in your lap and read it? How many of you spend time in the Word of God? We've shut the lamp up. And when you shut the lamp up, and listen, if you can tell me everything that's happening on Facebook, and you tell me all the little cute things that you see on there, but you can't tell me a chapter that you've read all week long, there's a problem. You're not going to have revival that way. That's what's got us into this mess to begin with. We've shut the lamps. We put the lamps out. We no longer let the lamps. The lamp is a light that shows us what to do and how to do it. And boy, how important it is for you to read the Word of God. And you know, I know that you can find a translation. I know that you can find the Bible on this thing here. And I understand, and I know it's the same word as the Word of God, but I tell you what, when I see people preach, I like to see them open this thing up. And when I get ready to read the Bible, I like to open my pages up. Every now and then, I like to write a little note right here beside something I read. I like to make a little note of something that God gives me as I read it. And so therefore, we've got to get the lamps burning again. Get the Word of God shining in our heart, reading it. And so therefore, if we want revival, God, I know, wants us in revival. Number one, we have to be inviting. You know, people's got this concept that revival is see lost people saved. No, it's to get the church in a position where you can see lost people saved. And what the church needs is revival. And so what we need to do is we need to open it up and begin inviting people in. We need to also open the Word of God up and begin to read it and study it again. You know, I long for the day again. When someone standing there, all of a sudden they said, "Preacher, I just want to share with you what God gave me this week when I was reading the Bible." Used to have that. We don't have that no more. But you can tell me what's happening on Facebook. I'm not picking on Facebook. Yeah, I am. I don't like it. But anyway, and I don't like it because you got it. I don't like it because who owns it. I don't like it because of what they do. They want to control you. They want to control your thinking. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You better get in this book here. Let that be the one that controls your thinking. Amen. Not only that, but notice something else. The Bible says in verse number 7 that they also had not burned incense. Burning incense was a type of praying. Let me ask you this. How much praying are we doing now? How much do you take time praying? I remember sometimes we used to get burdens in the church, and we'd go out in the woods, find trees and rocks, and pray for those burdens. We'd have issues going on, and we lift them up to God. We'd see dry times when we wasn't seeing people saved, and we get on our faces and begin to beg God to open up the portals of heaven and to pour out blessings and begin to let us see souls saved. And you know what? I can't remember a time when we got earnest before God and we really wanted God to send revival. He didn't send revival and he didn't begin to see souls saved again. But we got to pray. Not just this God is great, God is good. Not God, thank you for the food. And I think you ought to thank him for the food. But I'm talking about talking to God. Getting alone. You know, I had somebody ask me a while back to come and pray with somebody. I said, well, you pray with them. Why can't you pray with them? I don't know how. Been saved 20 years and don't know how to pray with somebody. Man, that speaks volumes, doesn't it? Those of you been here for a while, you remember when the altars used to be full? Service after service after service. You'd preach and man, you wouldn't even get a sermon preached and people start coming down the aisle. Getting on their faces. My dad said he remembered, Brother Junior was talking about things. He said he remembered in their revivals, they go for 2 and 3 weeks sometimes. And the first week, parents would just come and cry and call their children out by name that God would save their souls and pour their hearts out upon the altar of God and not be ashamed. And before the 2 or 3 weeks was out, here would come their children back in a church and walking down the aisle getting saved because they had a burden. We've lost our burden. When you lose your burden, you quit praying. And Hezekiah said, listen, we got to open these doors up. We got to get the lamps burning again. We got to burn incense again if we want to see revival. Look on. He also said in verse number 7, need to offer burnt offerings in the holy place. You know what that? It's confessing their sins. Coming and getting things right with God. And if we want to see revival, that's what we have to do. We have to come and confess those things and get them right. What happens to the church when you don't? Look in verse number 8. The wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem. They were in trouble. They were astonishment to hissing, as you see with your eyes. In other words, Israel had, people laughed at Israel. They mocked Israel. Israel had no prestige in people's eyes. They didn't look special. The God of Israel meant nothing because Israel was weak. The church has lost all standing for most part in communities because they have no strength. They don't stand for nothing. I remember when we first, they tried first put alcohol here. We had 4 churches here Burnside, and they began to stand with us. Then one or two of the churches, their membership told the pastor, "You got to take that sign out of your yard that was standing against alcohol, and you got to quit preaching about it, and you got to quit attending those meetings with them other preachers." One of them voted their pastor out. The biggest opposition we had to alcohol was other churches. You know why the government does what he does to churches? Because these big churches goes along with the government. Yeah, right. You have these little small churches in, and they just take and try to trample them. And it's because we have lost our power, and people looks at the church anymore and hisses at the church. The church means nothing. Am I right? Look in verse number 9. For our fathers have fallen by the sword, and sons and daughters, and our wives are in what? We've lost. We've lost our families. You can't get your children interested in church. Wives, so absorbed in everything else. Husbands have fallen along the way. Why? Because of the deterioration of the house of God. And what happened is we lose our children. I'll tell you, the hardest thing I've ever had in church, and I tell people this, they said, oh, we'd like to start a Christian school. I said, that's good if you want to. But you'll have so many battles in your Christian school you'll not understand. And some of those battles will bleed off on your church. And matter of fact, a lot of them will. And somebody said, someone was asking me about pastoring church and said, well, we don't have a Christian school. I said, it would be so much easier just to pastor a church. But listen, these children needs to be helped. We are losing our children to the world. And they're looking like the world. They're acting like the world. And they don't recognize a church. And they want nothing to do with the church. They no longer. You know, it wasn't long ago till I see these young people. They used to come down. I used to find them on the altar a lot. Right in the middle of service they'd come. And they'd come and cry out to God. And you know what? Our young people's not moving anymore. You know why? We're not moving anymore. You believe that? Now, and when we've done that, we're losing them captivity. Look on. So he come in, verse 11, he says, my sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him and to serve him. So what did he ask them to do? In verse number 5, he told them they need to sanctify themselves. First the priest. Then if you look in verse number 15, then the brethren. Sanctify themselves. Then they sanctify themselves. Verse 20, Hezekiah took public stands. Offer sin offerings in verse 21, as we said. Now, let me give you these things, and I'll close, but let me give you these things. That when you have revival, you begin to put these things back in the church. These are some things that you'll see. First thing you'll see is a sensitivity to sin again. Everything won't be right. There'll still be sin. Sin is still sin. It's still wrong. Amen. Whether I do it, whether you do it, sin is sin. So there needs to be a new sensitivity to sin. Feel convicted when we are not doing what God would have us do. What happens when we don't, when we can do it and not have any conviction? Second of all, there'll be a new consecration to God. And so what we'll find is we'll find ourselves reading the Word of God more, praying more. You know, some of the greatest weapons and some of the greatest avenues of power that old preachers used to have, praying saints behind them. Amen. Sometimes people say, preacher, I'm getting old. I just can't do anything for the church. You can pray. Amen. A lady at age of 92 was very instrumental in me getting saved. Because she cared enough about my soul. She come hobbling up there on that little cane, that little brown freckled hand, and put her arm around me and said, Billy, I'm praying for you that you will get saved. I didn't even know she knew who I was. 92-year-old. I'm going to tell you something. You always can be used in the house of God. But we got to get a new consecration to God. Number 3, revival will bring a new loyalty to the house of God. You won't have to, listen, I know this will bother some people and there'll be some people mad and I'll probably get a letter or two or I'll get a little note or two. The church, on nights that we have set aside for the church to meet and worship God, we shouldn't even think about offering basketball and volleyball and games and to get people to come to midweek service. Midweek service ought to be Bible study. It ought to be a place where we come together and worship God. Now, all those things can be in their place at times. Some of you that went on a canoe trip, I'm glad that you had a good time. It tickled me to death. But that was in its place. It doesn't have a place here. It doesn't take the place. There'll be new loyalty to the house of God. And I do want to thank God for this, and I want to tell you this. Many of you, when churches were going down and suffering because of finances, when they closed the doors, many of you have kept, and you've been so faithful to the house of God with your tithes and offerings, and I want you to know that I'm thankful for that. Number four, if you notice in verse number 27 on down, they begin to sing. Now listen to me very carefully. All you all listen to me. Young people and older people alike. Revival will start bringing some song service alive again. There's 80% of you probably, or 70% of you, that gets up and sings songs. You ought to have a song on your heart every now and then. You shouldn't have to be begged. You shouldn't have to be pleaded. You should get a song back in your heart. Revival will bring singing again. Somebody said, well, preacher, I don't sing very well. I never did. If I let that stop me, I'd quit singing. But listen to me. I've heard some people sing that didn't carry a note very well. But some of the people that I remember most, that stuck out most in my mind. I remember this guy that was tongue-tied. His tongue was tied to the roof, to the bottom of his mouth. And he couldn't pronounce a word plainly. He got up and sung, "We'll soon be done with troubles and trials." And he got up in front of the church, and he was a poor fella. And I know some was making, but he so impressed me. Because he wasn't there for a show. He wasn't there to try to get bookings. He just wanted to sing something for the Lord. And I tell you, revival will bring new songs and singing. And so what we have to do is we have to put songs back on. And I love it during service where somebody says, hey, would you mind singing this song? Let's sing another song. Let's sing this song. Now, I don't believe you ought to do it just to interrupt service, but I believe that you ought to have something up on your heart you want to sing. Number five, it brings a new love for the brethren. When you have revival, you'll see a different love for your brethren. This idea of coming and fussing and fighting and churches splitting, I just don't get it. How you can claim that you're following the Spirit of God and be in the midst of a split of a church, I just don't get it. Now, I understand sometimes if there's a doctrine difference and you have to stand against the doctrine difference, but there's a way in which you do that. But I've never understood churches that's done that. And I've known some churches that had to have law enforcement come and stand at their business meetings to be able to have a business meeting. What a shame and reproach. Even if you sit and try to argue with each other in the midst of church, it is a shame. If you think that makes you look spiritual, you just don't understand. God wants you to love one another. He said, you can tell my disciples because they love one another. And you say, well, preacher, they're wrong. Charity covereth a multitude of sins. If you're so spiritual, you ought to be able to overlook and pray and handle it in the right way and not combat it. And what we do is we'll find revival. We'll bring a new love. I'll tell you what happens when you're not revived. You start picking each other apart or picking the preacher apart or picking somebody apart. Instead of picking me apart, let's just pick Brother Eric apart, okay? Teaching Sunday, so let's just pick him apart. Last but not least, revival will bring a new concern for lost people. I found this last year has really done damage to my soul. And I blame myself for it. And I mean, it was a struggle trying to figure out what to do, how to do it. But I'm going to tell you something. We have lost the burden for lost people. And hell is still just as real as it was then, a year ago. And people are still just as lost as it was then. The only difference is Jesus is a year closer to coming back than he was then. And so we need to be at work. And folks, we need revival. And we begin the process right now of looking at these things. And I'm not asking you to sit and judge someone around there. I'm asking you to sit. And Brother Junior, tonight, I want Brother Junior to look at Brother Junior. Darlene, Doris. Just look at yourself. And let's say, Lord, if revival is going to start, I want to be a part of it. Let it start here. And I'll tell you something, God will begin to do something. And we'll begin to see some of these things happen. And we'll begin to see God revive some things. And if you notice the last verse, Hezekiah rejoiced and all the people rejoiced. I'm looking forward to the time when we can rejoice again. And just have joy when we see somebody walking the aisle, calling upon the Lord to save them. And as there's joy in the presence of the angels in heaven, so there'll be joy in our presence. That we can rejoice in the house of God again. But it all starts with finding revival back into the house of God once again. Let's stand tonight. Maybe God is still in your heart. You ought to come tonight. However he may lead you, would you obey him tonight? How about it?